Josh. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Lur. Do the wiggle, man.
I do the wiggle, man. Yeah. Yeah, we are back with Josh Wiggler in the Wiggle Room.
I found out a week ago that the fifth one voted out is Aubrey Bracco. Aubrey Bracco.
Just felt like we should probably do like a mournful version of the typically happy holiday road cover.
The unhappy
road. The holidays over road. The holiday hangover road. So sad to come back to the Wiggle Room and Aubrey's on the edge of extinction. No! Oh my God. Come on, God.
Come on, God.
What the heck?
No, she is out there on the edge, but Josh Wiggler is back with us after a one-week hiatus from the Wiggle Room. Thanks again to Jessica Lease for doing a great job filling in for Josh last week, avoiding any sort of JT-style embarrassment with doing such a great job here filling in for you last week.
I love Jessica Lease. She did a fantastic job, and I could not be happier with Jess as the first mate of the good ship Wanduff is definitely something I am happy with. But yeah, I'm back, and I've got like 3 weeks of Survivor. It feels like to talk about it. It's technically just 2 weeks, but I missed the episode before, and this was a double header, yeah. So it's a lot to catch up on.
You and I have not talked since the swap. In fact, the last time that we talked, we did a post swap who will be the boot draft, and neither of us drafted Rick Devins in that draft, so yeah. It goes to show you how much of a finger we have on the pulse.
Yeah. We tend to be better when we know the results, like on the evolution of strategy, and then we can sound really smart, like we knew what we were talking about the entire time. On the week to week,
break down what did happen as opposed to prognosticate what will happen, as evidenced by our second chances predictions from the evolution of strategy. But that 100%. Being said, Josh, so nice to have you back here with us to talk about everything that's happened the last three votes.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I had a spectacular vacation, a really great vacation. This is neither the time nor place to talk to you about it. Someday, perhaps, we shall get into all of that. But I'm thrilled to get back into the edge of extinction after a doubleheader that I really thought was a high point for what has been a very strange season so far. Continues to be strange to me, but I think definitely pretty easily the best 2 hours of the show so far.
I agree. So we saw Aubrey go out in the first hour, as you mentioned. Any thoughts on Aubrey going out at this point?
Sad about it, obviously. Very bummed about it. I love Aubrey. I think she's fantastic. I think she's a tremendous player. I think she's an even better person. And so to see her go fifth was sad. You know, one of those moments where you are happy that the edge of extinction exists because it means more Aubrey on our screens. And she goes home with the idol. She goes home with the extra vote. You can imagine why she wants to hang on to that stuff if she's feeling safe and secure. And I think the only world in which she hangs on to that stuff is the world in which she feels very safe and secure, and that a very easy vote is coming down the line with getting rid of Wendy, which means I think you really got to tip your cap, your beanie, as it were, primarily to Victoria, with an assist from Eric and Gavin as well, but especially Victoria, who emerges from this episode as a really strong contender, somebody who is a really sharp Survivor player, and that's really exciting to see. So if somebody is going to take Aubrey out, I'm excited that it's done in a way that is such a slam dunk blindside, because she's such a great player, that in order to really catch her unaware with loaded weapons in her pocket must mean that you're a pretty good Survivor player as well. So Victoria Bimond, one to watch for sure.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea. Oh. I truly don't. There's two A's in there. They're together. I don't know how you're supposed to, Bimond. Is that how Bamond? I don't know. I'm not sure how it's supposed to go. I'll go with Bamond until corrected otherwise.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we get the correct pronunciation at some point in time. Okay, so then, Josh, we also had the return of the Combined Tribal Council. You and I spoke at length during Game Changers about the Combined Tribal Council. If I recall correctly, you were pro Combined Tribal Council at that point. So were you pumped up to see it return?
I don't know if I would say pumped up to see it return, not mad to see it return. I think Survivor, you know, when you're this far in, I don't mind Survivor taking swings that aren't like radically altering the landscape of the game, which is why like I'm a little bit dicey on Edge of Extinction. Like this is a radical change of the landscape. If it's a one use only, I'm not so mad at it. And it has paid off, with some compelling new narrative structures this season, which I have enjoyed. I think that the Edge of Extinction stuff, again, I think a fairly cold take, has been the most enjoyable stuff of the season so far. So to see the Combined Tribal come back, I'm not mad at that, especially because you got to imagine that the Lesu Four, those guys were probably going back to Tribal Council no matter what. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to see them have to pick off one of their own yet again just means Kama has an even easier shot going into the merge, when they already seem like, you know, the great fear is that this could be just a full pagonging coming into the merge, which I'm not that excited about. But with the Combined Tribal, there's a shot to shake things up a little bit and to do something interesting. And sad to see it, you know, the axe fall on Wendy, who I know you thought was like the biggest threat of the season by far and away. Right? I believe that's the correct take. Is that
I
right?
believe that she was definitely going to the final three if they left her in the game. So a smart move on a lot of people's parts to make sure that she was not going to be a part of that merge.
But I thought it was fun to see, you know, some of these people who, you know, these people who had just taken Aubrey out now, you know, in a way that they were very confident probably coming out of that vote. They pulled off a high level blindside, and now they are going to a tribal council where they're going to have to contend against two more returning players who they've never met before in their entire lives outside of the challenges and a quick hi, how are you at the marooning. And they didn't really even get that. Mm-hmm. They just got to lay eyes on them. So now they're going to this tribal council and they're going in. And they are, you know, they're riding the high of having just knocked Aubrey out of the game. And they feel so confident that they've got this plan that these returning players aren't going to want to go to rocks. And so going into that tribal council, and if you're somebody who's been watching Survivor for any real amount of time, you got to know that these people, their plan is stupid. Like their logic is flawed, much like the game, according to Russell Hantz. You know, that you're going to come back for your second or third time and just go out on a rock draw? I don't think so, said the person who just got on Survivor for the very first time. You're the one who's going to go to rocks? So it was fun to watch the Fijian standoff in this. I thought that it played very, very well.
Okay. So, Josh, on this podcast, we try to take a look at the big picture, take a look at the story, where we've been, where we might go. To you right now, coming into the merge, what do you see as the major storyline we're following heading into the merge?
There's a couple, but I think primarily it seems to be still, I think, like, old Kama versus old Manu is probably the obvious one. You know, the combined forces of like the new Manu, who are old Kama, plus the current Kama, which is also old Kama, versus Lesu, which is, you know, the only four people that are still actively in the game from the original Manu. And you got to be worried about their shot. I know that some people, I'm trying to remember who exactly. I feel like Mike Bloom has talked about this. I feel like you've talked about it, maybe referencing Mike. About this being like maybe a, you know, like a Foa-Foa return, like a return of that kind of mm-hmm. dynamic of the Foa-Foa Four from Samoa. Do they have a shot as like sort of like these Survivor insurgents of taking down Kama from within? You gotta hope so, otherwise it's just gonna be rather boring. And I think that the secret weapon that they could potentially have up their sleeves, in addition to the fact that two of those four have idols in their pockets, is whoever comes back from extinction, can they woo that person? You know, working against them is the fact that most of those people are people that they voted out themselves. Are they going to be able to win that person back over? Or if it's Aubrey, they'll be able to get Aubrey rather quickly, you would think. And Aubrey, you would think, would be able to help Kelly Wentworth, who already has a relationship with Joe, pull Joe back over. And then we've got a really fascinating situation. Joe also connected to Aurora, I think he has talked about as well. So that would be ideal. I love Aubrey, so I would love to see Aubrey coming back in this next vote. But I think that's really the thing. It's like, what happens with this extinction person? Does that tip the scales in whatever war we're about to get into? Or is Kama just going to continue their frog march or their Kama dance all over the game? And if that's the case, I'm going to be pretty bored. I'm going to be pretty bored with that.
Well, last season, we got so much with David versus Goliath of, who are the underdogs and what is the adversity that they're facing? And, anybody who is a student of reality TV knows that, we are, usually as an audience siding with the underdogs. It is this very unusual circumstance now, though, where it might end up being that the underdogs in this season moving forward could be the returning players. It's almost like, can the returning players hold their own against this group of upstarts, which wants to knock them all out of the game?
Yeah, totally. Because I think we've seen it all season long. It's been, at the very least, the secondary narrative, if not the primary one, has been this rising tide against returning players from the people who are, just playing Survivor for the very first time. And they took their first shot at Aubrey and that worked out. Whether or not Aubrey is able to return to the game, you got to think that Wentworth and David should be shaking in their boots because they're part of the minority now and they should be fairly obvious people for Kama to go after if Kama is sticking together. But Joey Amazing should also be nervous. We have seen people from his own tribe talking about how they want to get rid of Joe and they just haven't done it yet because why throw a challenge? I think this was from this last episode. Why throw a challenge when Joe is making camp life so great? Why, when he's, shouldering the burden and making sure we don't have to go to tribal council? But that is going to end. They're about to go to the merge. And we have said for years, certainly during Second Chance, it was something we were talking about a lot. It's like the moment that Joe is not immune, you go after Joe, right? Like, I really thought that Joe would be taken out before the merge in Second Chance in Cambodia, and maybe he would have if, not for the fact that he never had to worry about it. So he's somebody who should be very nervous, and I'm very excited to see what happens when him and Wentworth link up, because this is a moment for Joe to show if he's learned a thing or two from, his first two times out on Survivor and the years that he's had to process those two games. When he played the second time, he had, half a year at that, if that, to really think about how he had played the first time. Now he's had, a couple of years since he's been out there. If Joe is, if Joe is the player he hopes he is, I think he's probably best served by moving away from Kama and starting to make some moves coming up. Because I think that any one of those three returning players still left in the game, Wentworth, David, Joe, I'm very, very worried for any of their chances coming into this next episode.
Yeah, I think that Joe is really the most interesting person in the game at the merge coming into this, because I think he really has three paths in front of him. One is the Kama strong of, hey, I got to show these people that I'm loyal. Maybe this is how I get to the end, that if I get these people far enough, if we just take the, four or five easy votes and knock out what's left of the original Manu, then that's my ticket to the end. And then if I can get to seven, then I can just win the immunities from there. He could flip and work with the returnees and take Aurora and potentially the person that comes back from Extinction Island, and they would have a majority against the remaining players from Kama. Or Joe could just do the Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Ozzy, and say, oh, there's a whole island where I could just hang out there, can't get voted out. Okay, so what? I'm going to try to win every challenge. If you vote me out, vote me out. But guess what? I'll be back.
Right.
Yeah. More powerful than before.
Yeah. He's going to help somebody shoot down the Death Star with his disembodied Forest Ghost voice. I think so. And I'm curious to see which track it takes. And I do think, you know, that was a lot of like the initial fear of Edge of Extinction is this is just a twist that's designed for someone like Joe to get knocked out, come back in, and just conquer the game. And I don't think that that would be very exciting. I think that that would be rather boring at
best.
Joe,
you think it's so amazing here, dude? Wait, I didn't know. I didn't know it was going to be like this. Yeah, bro. Well, this ain't no Holiday Inn, okay?
More like Joey Lame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joey Lame-azing. Right, Keith?
Yeah, this guy, I'm not about Joey Amazing. I don't want this guy. Yeah. I don't want him here.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, to see Joe on the Edge of Extinction with Reem is obviously a delight. I do just hope that Reem is not the person who comes back into the game. I just want to see Reem on the Edge of Extinction for the rest of time. And that is with all due love and respect to Reem, who remains the best character of the season, as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to see Joe turn it on. I'd like to see a different Joey Amazing. I'd like to see a Joe who plays that game that he really ought to play. I'd like to see the Joe who knows that his time is up with the comma folks and that he should go with somebody who he can actually at least read to a degree in Kelly Wentworth, who he's played with before, both on Survivor and on Candy Crush.
Oh, I didn't know you watched that.
And they've already won together once. Why not flip the script? I feel like that is, and take Candy Crush. Take Aurora with you. Talk to whoever comes back from Extinction. If it's Aubrey, it's an easy conversation. If it's one of these other people, hopefully it's not a terribly hard conversation of being like, look, these people are tight and they're going to be coming for all of us. And, if we don't make a move right now, if you can't settle your beef with these people who voted you out, we're all going to have a big problem. We can deal with that later. I would love to see that side of Joe. Am I, thinking that that's what we'll see? Not really. I mean, what we have seen from Joe on the show has been two people on his tribe conspiring openly, literally right in front of him, and then him giving us a confessional saying, like, I don't know where they stand. They just told you where they stand. So make or break moments coming up for Joe here at the top of the merge, and I think that's going to be very exciting to see how it plays out in either direction, just as far as, like, Joe Watch is concerned.
Yeah, but he's going to do it for Sierra.
I know. Yeah.
Maybe you can work with Chris if Chris comes back in the game.
Yeah.
Doing it for Sierra.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of who's going to come back into the game, there are six people who are vying for a spot to return to the game Wednesday night. We don't know who it's going to be, but one of these six people is coming back. And since we did so well with our Who is Out at the Swap draft, Josh and I thought it would be fun if we went ahead and did our Who is Coming Back from the Edge draft.
Yeah, we edging.
Nope.
Are <We're> you?
No, we're not.
Yikes,
we're not,
yikes. We're not.
Okay. All right.
PG-13 podcast.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to go full bloom on us.
I'm sorry. Right. It's hard not to these days. Okay.
All right. Edge of Extinction draft. So who was closer with the... nobody had Devins. Who was closer?
No, I believe... And I don't think that anyone had Lauren either, right? And those are the only two shots in the gun. So this is kind of... We were drawn dead that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll do a little better. I mean, there's six people left on the Edge of Extinction.
So I think I had Aubrey. I think I had drafted Aubrey in the Who's Out at the Swap draft. So I guess then that would probably be closest.
Close-ish.
Yes.
I had to have Wendy. No, or did you have Wendy? No, I think you took Wendy.
I think Wendy was the number one pick. So,
yeah, okay.
So I had two of the people that got voted out after the swap. Okay.
All right. So you get to pick. You get to pick if you want to go first or if you want to get the 2-3.
We'll do this
heavy snake draft again.
The heavy snake draft. That is one heavy snake. So, all right. I will give you the first pick and I'll go 2-3 because I don't have a chalk favorite.
Okay, I'll go with Aubrey. I'll stick to my pal Aubrey Bracco, that I think Aubrey will be the person who comes back from the edge of extinction. I think of the returning players, I still maintain, I think she has the best winner story that's potentially only enhanced by the fact that she got voted out on a season like this. That, you know, she, you know, when she hits her lows, that's when she's ready to go on the upswing. She's the one who gets that line at the end of the episode, it's time for some payback. You know, she's wearing like the Die Jerks bandana right now. You know, I think they're all wearing the Die Jerks bandana right now, but you know, I think that she's got that, you know, ferocity about her. And besides that, she of everybody else has the most experience in Survivor challenges. She's got an immunity win under her belt. I feel like she has the, you know, the practice of trying to calm your nerves, your steadiness going into challenges when things are, you know, make or break moments. So why not take Aubrey? I think Aubrey is as good a first pick as any of these people.
Okay. Aubrey
also,
number
you know,
one.
Recently put there, so she's not quite as malnourished as everybody else. She's not quite as crazy as everybody else. Mm. So yeah, I'll take Aubrey.
Okay. All right. So I got two in a row here, and let me think about how this is going to go. I will say that I will take, I feel like people feel very good about this person potentially returning. I'll take Devins at number two.
Okay.
He is not done a lot challenge wise, so it's hard to get a good read on how he would be able to function in this, but he seems capable enough. Seems like he knew what he was doing with the map and can solve a problem or a puzzle if that's part of what they need to do. So I'll take Devin's number two.
Yeah, I mean, he does, like, he has been in the four episodes that he was actively involved, he was such a big character. You know, he was one of the new players that really popped the most. And it was a real shock. I mean, we didn't even get to talk about that. It was a real shock when mm-hmm. he got voted out. You know, I think a lot of people had been getting like that winner vibe from Rick Devins. And I wasn't sure if I was getting quite the winner vibe, but certainly like big character vibe. So to see to see the Kool-Aid man go down fourth was a real shock to me. And you got to feel like there's a little more life left in that guy, but it could just be that he is like the news anchor of extinction, you know, that he is, you know, he's just going to be like an expert narrator out in the sub game, is not an impossibility. It's hard for me to picture him conquering the challenge compared to some of the other people, really, who I assume you're going to pick next, versus Aubrey are the two, it'd be really hard for me to see how he bests those people. And I say that with all due respect as a fellow dad botter myself, as DJ LaBelle Klein pointed out.
Still, though, I heard you graduated.
I'm working on it. But I would love for you to be right. I mean, I would be sad. I would be sad for me to be wrong, but I would love for you to be right that Devins is able to get back in here.
I thought you were talking about lack of dad bod.
Oh, I would love for that to be correct too. Okay. As I say, I'm working on it.
All right. Okay. So number three, I'm going to take somebody who could be a little knotted up on this Wednesday night, but maybe he will be able to overcome. I will go with Mr. Chris Underwood.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, you know, he's
come on,
got,
knots. Come on, knots. Come yeah. on, knots.
There will be no garlic knots involved in this challenge, unfortunately. Yeah, I think Chris would be the odds-on favorite if not for the knots, and that is the big hang-up for me versus Aubrey. Like, you know, you went Devin second, I would have said Chris would have been the second one up. You know, between him and Aubrey. He's, you know, this guy was a killer on that, you know, that slingshot challenge. He was by far and away the most capable, you know, physical challenge performer on the original Manu. It was a real surprise when he went home. There's a destiny quality about it, right? Like, if he is Burton Roberts reborn, then this would be his chance to get back into the game. So, yeah, I'm not mad at the pick at all. I mean, for him to be top three, I think is a no-brainer.
Okay. All right. I also think that Survivor, you know, that they could give him something that's going to slow him down, but I don't think that they're going to give him punishment that will, like, take him out of commission, something that could slow him down a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be completely debilitating.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I wonder how that'll balance out where he's got, you know, he's got the practice, right? He's got the thing he can practice on, and he's probably going to get knotted up by Keith. Like, will that cancel each other out, and will he just be like on like an even keel with everybody else? And if he's on an even keel with everybody else, he's still pretty deadly.
Okay, Josh, you will pick two out of the last three people left on Extinction, and I will have the last person left.
Yeah, so I mean, if Chris coming back would be the fulfillment of the Burton Roberts Reborn prophecy, then who's our Scoutmaster Lil? Who's the closest we have to that? I mean, really, nobody, right? There's no one as legendary as the great Lillian Morris, cousin of Steve Chicken Dam Morris. But in the spirit of Chicken Morris, why not call it for Big Wendy Diaz? She's just getting to the edge of extinction. She is the last person there before this challenge. Can't imagine she is spending more than a night, two nights max, in this land of depletion. She's been surprisingly strong in challenges. If it's going to require a big foot race, she might be in trouble, though she seems like she's been pretty good on her feet. I actually don't entirely understand what happened with everything with the ankle.
I don't know exactly what the challenge is going to include, but hopefully it won't involve a sense of direction.
Yeah, closer to Wendy Jo in that moment, as she was infamously lost in the Nicaragua graveyard. I think Wendy, I'm not expecting it, but she's been the biggest new player of the season, actively in the game up until this past week. So there may be more life to her yet. I think it'll probably be one of the three we had discussed before this. But then I hope that she's not so offended that I didn't pick her already, because I will take Reem Daly here. I will take Reem Daly.
It's fine. You know what, dude? It's fine.
Thanks, Reem, because I love you. As I've said, like, I think that you're the best character of the season, and I'm including every single person who's on the season.
Even
the returnees, even Probst, even the chickens. I think Reem Daly, superstar, and you know, she is the light of our lives this year, and I kind of want her to just be the mother of extinction forever, because I think that would be tremendous. But I also love the idea of her getting back and just giving everybody an earful, and then probably getting sent right back to the edge of extinction shortly after that. So I'll take Reem here to leave you with Keith.
Right. For Keith, it does seem hopeless. It's hard to imagine the scenario where what the challenge could be that it comes up that it's going to be in Keith's wheelhouse.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, if it requires like running away from everybody without them noticing and getting like a real head start on the challenge while they're not watching.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's got that.
I don't even think I would begrudge Keith if he went to go raise the mast. It's like, what is he doing? What is he doing here? What is he doing?
No. He's got to stick
19.
It out.
Let's just go, you know, you had a fun time and then just raise the mast.
Raise the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he got to say? He's got to stay there for 39. What is he going to, he's going to beat like 10 people then and get back in the game?
Yeah. I mean, he went out there, right? He went out to the edge of extinction.
Yeah.
He made the choice. He settled the cliffhanger. He made the right decision. He's been out there for a long time now. He knows what it's like. If he is to be defeated and if he is to head back out there, then yeah, I could understand that. But if he, you know, if the news comes in that, all right, it's challenge day
Rick Devens reporting live from Challenge Day.
And if he doesn't even compete in the challenge, if you're saying like he raises the mast pre-challenge.
No, they'll go to the challenge, but yeah, then if he loses the challenge and then, you know, especially if Chris goes in, that could put him right over the edge. Let me just say that I will not be one of the Survivor alumni on Twitter raking Keith over the coals of how could you raise the mast? I'll be like, look, he had a good run.
I think it'd be hard to be mad at anybody who raised the mast, honestly, because I really think it's really bleak out there. It's very bleak out there on the edge of extinction.
When you're bleak, you're bleak.
You know, and you didn't choose the twist that, you know, essentially calls you a quitter.
The twist chose you.
Yeah, the twist chose you. And I think if you choose to not engage with the twist any further after having at least dabbled with the twist, I think I wouldn't be so mad about it. But yeah, I have a hard time imagining Keith winning this challenge. I think that'd be a really exciting story if he did. I think it'd be a really fun story if he did. And the thing that's, you know, making me think about it a little more is how much narrative emphasis was on him, like, making that choice of whether or not to even go out to the edge of extinction, that it was such a hard decision for him, and he ultimately went out there. Why emphasize that it was a hard decision for him if not for the fact that maybe it's going to pay off, that maybe he is going to get his way back into the game? So the more I think about it, the more I can picture Keith returning to the game. It's just a little hard to imagine the victory over some of these other people. But it'd be a real David versus Goliath, right? Of him being able to tie Chris down and then like get past him because
be
of
more
that.
Of a Gulliver's Travels, no? To keep it in the Survivor universe.
Yeah, you're right. David versus Goliath is still in the universe, but Gulliver's Travels is definitely the better metaphor.
Yeah. I do think Chris wins the challenge on Wednesday. You'll see me at church on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's like, wow, this come on God stuff is really working.
It's working. It's working. Okay. All right.
Josh, now there's going to be no insurance for any of these players to necessarily get back into the game, but you and the listeners can save a lot of money on your car insurance with our friends over at AIS, the auto insurance specialist. Now, people most of the time don't even know what they're paying for their car insurance. You got to set it up to auto pay, and that's just how the insurance companies like it, because you're not checking out what you're paying, and very slowly they're slowly turning up the rates on you, and you could be getting a great deal when you go ahead and use the smart quote technology that is available to you from our friends at AIS, the auto insurance specialist. They've got the smart quote technology, and they can go ahead and you tell them everything about your car, how many miles you're driving, all of your driving history that is pertinent, and they're going to shop all the rates and get you the best deal for the coverage that you want for your car insurance. So go ahead and don't wait. Go to AISinsurance.com or call 1-800-777-4 AIS. That's AISinsurance.com. Don't make your next insurance payment until you check out the rates with AIS. It's the easiest thing you could do to save yourself some money at AISinsurance.com/Rob. Okay. Now, we talked about who's coming back into the game, Josh, but we need to talk about who's leaving the game as well.
Yeah, someone's going to get voted out. Someone's about to get knocked out of Survivor Edge of Extinction, at least for a little while. You know, who knows what's going to happen for this person afterwards. But yeah, we're at merge boot territory, baby.
Okay.
Let's draft that out as well.
Yeah. Is it worthwhile to just stop down and talk about the current state of the merge boot on Survivor? Because, you know, this ends up being a thing where we think it's one thing, but lately the merge boot, it seems like, is more often than not, who is the outlier? Who is the people? Who's the person that just the consensus can just knock out of the game here?
You know, the merge boot is kind of the new first one out. where often the first person voted out of Survivor, it's not necessarily because they did anything wrong. It's not necessarily because of like any one thing. Often it's the Sandra thing of anybody but me, right? Mm-hmm. Like often it's just like, I don't want to be the first one out. And I think that there's some measure of that that has been true of Merge Boots recently, where like Chris Noble, fairly easy person for everybody to just be like, yeah, let's just get rid of Chris Noble here. You know, he's causing problems and he's ridiculous, and you know, let's just knock that guy out. You would think of him kind of as that more traditional Merge Boot because he's a challenge threat. I think it could be just as much about the fact that like that's just something that we can all agree to eliminate. I think you could say a similar thing for Jessica Johnston, the recently married. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations. Jessica Johnson.
I would actually feel like that, and tell me what you think about this. I think she's the one outlier here in the 30s in terms of these merge boots. I think that all the other merge boots are actually like pretty much straightforward in terms of, I mean, at least since Second Chances, where it was Cass, then you had a medical evacuation in 32, and then 33, it was
Michelle.
Okay, almost said a different M name. Michelle. Yeah. And you had Haley Ford. And then you had Jessica, I think, is the one outlier where it was really the two sides in a face-off of who were they going to put the votes on. And then you had then with Elizabeth and with Chris Noble, as we mentioned. So I think it's a lot of like easy votes at the merge. And I feel like that Jessica was like the one. It wasn't like that she was unpleasant to be around at all.
No, it was
just like, okay, well, we're going to target one of the healers. So let's just put the one who's the least likely to have the idol.
Yeah, but I think that that's not far away from like why Haley was voted out. Like, I think that it's similar. I think it's kind of like this is somebody who we can reasonably feel safe about getting rid of right now. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's like the new defining trait of the modern merge boot is it's less about who's going to dominate the game moving forward, who's a huge threat to rock the challenges moving forward. And it seems to be more about like, who can we all get on board with or who can the majority of us get on board with just as somebody, not even necessarily because they're unpleasant to be around or anything like that, but because like this is just a fairly easy, straightforward decision.
Yeah. And the ultimate irony was that Chris Noble had an idol when he got voted out of the game.
I know.
That was the merge boot, but didn't play it. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, Josh, okay. So would you like the first pick again here in the merge boot? Well, we'll do 3 and 3 again.
Sure. And we talked before we got on to the podcast that whoever comes back from the Edge of Extinction is just that's the person, that's a draftable person. Like rather than like saying Aubrey is eligible here specifically, or Reem is eligible here specifically, or whoever, it's the Extinction returnee is the person you could draft, just like the blanket Extinction returnee.
Okay. All right. Right? Yes.
That makes sense?
Makes sense. Okay. Cool. All right.
Then with my first pick, I'll take the Extinction Returnee.
Okay.
It's in the Boss and Rob rule book, right? Like, you know, this is the person that you know, they showed up, you send them right back. Mm-hmm. Why not? Easy consensus choice. This person shouldn't still be in the game anyway. Let's just send them right back where they belong.
See, I don't think that whoever comes back from the edge will go right back out of the game boomerang style. I really don't think that we'll see a Matt Elrod / Wyatt Nash situation on Wednesday night, because I feel like that, who does that serve other than like there being some sort of like consensus and Aubrey hates Kumbaya Survivor? If it's Aubrey, you know, then you would think that she'd be voting with the returning players. They could pull over Joe. And if it's one of these other first-time players, then what's the point? Like, why vote out Big Wendy again?
Because then for Kama, they still don't have to really draw blood against each other yet. You know, they can still keep that Kumbaya
to
some degree.
But take out a big threat that is from the original Manu and not Big Wendy.
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe that's it, but maybe it's like, let's give some of these new Manu, you know, or original Manu more of a chance, because eventually you're going to want one or two of those numbers. So, you know, I mean,
because there's a chance,
like
when you have one of these other people, like say it's Reem or Chris, maybe Devin's, I could see that if he goes right back to his original group. But I think that there's like some wiggle room here where, like, if Chris comes back, that maybe Chris is coming back and he's salty, and that Kama feels like, okay, well, this is another vote on our side that we could keep around and now pick off the Lesu / Manu people.
Wow. I feel like I've made a huge mistake here. I feel like I made a big mistake. I feel like I'm trying to think about this the old way. Mm-hmm. And this season is bearing out that the old way isn't necessarily the way forward anymore. That these new players are resisting the narrative that when you get a couple of returnees on a season that's mostly newbies, they just do the coach thing and frog march to the end, and either get to the end or they win. And it seems like these rookies, they know that narrative and they don't like that narrative and they are resisting that narrative. So maybe the Wyatt Nash thing won't repeat itself. And maybe I've just catastrophically screwed up my own draft.
Well, don't beat yourself up too much.
I feel horrible about it. I feel terrible about it. I just feel really bad about it.
Okay. All right. So the Edge of Extinction returnee is the number one pick to go home at the merge.
I'll stick with it. Okay. I'll stick with it.
All right. I have two picks in a row. I will say that I will take War Dog here as the number two pick off the board.
Noble-esque, you know, and anti-noble in other respects, i.e. softball throwing skills.
Right.
Not so much on the fast pitch, guy.
Yeah.
That was very funny.
Here's my thinking here with War Dog, that if they are going to target a number from the Lesu / Manu side, that they might look at him as a physical threat in terms of, now maybe the results don't necessarily bear out, but if you're saying, like, who are we worried about that is going to win challenges out of, you know, Kelly, Lauren, David side, that maybe War Dog comes in, he could rub some people the wrong way, as we've seen in this new paradigm shift of who's not making a ton of friends at the merge, potentially, and I could see him being a name that gets thrown out there.
You think War Dog's the biggest challenge threat of those four?
I think that if you are getting there to the merge and you're looking at that group, who are you targeting as the challenge threat?
Lauren?
It's possible, but I think that they're looking at War Dog. He's a strong guy. I think that that's still part of the mindset of the survivors, and maybe he is sort of a loud presence at the camp, and so he's top of mind for people to target at the merge.
Yeah, I could absolutely see it. As Wentworth herself puts it, that there is like there's a Tony Vlachos esque quality to him, that, you know, maybe at this point when his tribe is already so down in numbers, and if any of these super fans are also in their minds thinking that there is Foa Foa upside to the original Manu, that maybe we want to get rid of the guy who looks the most like Russell Hantz. Mm-hmm. I think it's not impossible to see that. Yeah. I mean, I could see it. I could totally see it. Okay. I don't think that I would pick him as the second, but I can see where you're coming
all
from
right
on it.
I'm going to go with a pick here that's going to be a little off the board. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go with Eric Haifman.
Wow. Now that's a classic merge boot.
Yes.
This guy's got Nick Stanberry upside written all over him.
Okay. And let me just talk through my thinking there that if the Lesu Manu people can pull over Joe, pull over Aurora and the Extinction Island person, I think that they would target one of the people that is from the new Manu, not somebody that Joe has ties with from the second version of Kama. I feel like that Joe would not be up to vote out one of those people, but maybe Joe could be talked into voting out one of the Kama people who exposed themselves as being one of the people that voted out Aubrey, was not somebody that Joe seemed close with based on what we've seen. And of the threesome of, you know, Gavin, Victoria, and Eric, the biggest traditional merge threat in terms of winning the challenges. So I'll take Eric in a wild one.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that because it's consistent with where I'll go with my next two picks.
Okay.
Where I'm gonna put some faith in the Lesu Four. I'm going to put some faith in the fact that they've got two idols on their side, and they've got a proven crazy thinker in the form of David Wright, and a budding crazy thinker in the form of Dan the War Dog Da Silva. And I'm gonna put some stock in some Foa hopes here, if for no other reason than
keep
I really
hope alive.
Yeah, man, I don't want this to be a comma stomp all over everybody. I think that would just be so boring. All due respect to the people from comma, those who we have heard much from and those who we have barely heard from. I'm sure you're all wonderful people with great journeys in your own hearts and minds.
Sure.
But I just think for the sake of the show, it would be better for this to be a little more exciting than what seems to be obvious. So I'm gonna pick two comma people here, and the mechanism by which I think that these people would be getting knocked out would either be by pulling in Joe and Aurora for, you know, to bring them plus whoever comes back from extinction into those numbers, and they're finally able to turn it on comma, or maybe Joe doesn't budge and he's somebody that's worth targeting. The first person I'll pick is Ron Clark. I think that Ron seems to be the most, outside of Eric, I think he seems to be, and even more than Eric, he's the guy who's really beating the comma pride drum. You know, he's the guy who is really about going against returning players, keeping his group loyal. He seems to be a really deadly, dangerous, strong player, that now would not be a bad time to go after someone like Ron, especially if you're Wentworth or Lauren and you can't turn the numbers over to your side, and now is the time to use an immunity idol. I can really easily envision the scenario where Wentworth is able to savage out Ron Clark. So I'll take Ron as my first pick here.
Okay.
Or I guess my second
Ron
pick.
Clark gets idled out. Is this pool where you have to like call your shot off the bank shot?
No, I mean, if Ron Clark goes out in any other way, I'm still going to take the... I'll still do my own comma dance, you know. I'll do my own wiggle dance. But yeah, so I'll say Ron. And then I only get one other pick, right? That's
right,
it?
Right.
I feel like I mean the odds are he's probably gonna win immunity, but if he doesn't, I just gotta take Joe. Because I think if Joe doesn't win immunity, at the very least we are going to see some kind of narrative heading into tribal council, like, oh, maybe now's the time to get rid of Joe. And they wouldn't be wrong. Now would be the time to get rid of Joe. So I feel like at the very least I just have to have him, because I think the rest are a little bit of shots in the dark. Although I would, and maybe I'm giving you a free one here, like I would be tempted to take David here as well, as somebody that they could just all come after right now.
Right. David Wright.
Yes,
that is.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I have to take him.
Just yeah, sure.
He doesn't have an idol. He is a threat. He's vulnerable. So I will take David Wright.
Yeah, I just don't want to underestimate David Wright.
No.
Believe in David Wright.
No, we believe in him, but yes. We also believe that, you know, other people, see what we see, and he definitely could be somebody that they go after. And
I also believe that Joey Amazing will be immune for the next 7 episodes, so, you know, you don't have to believe in your picks to make them.
Okay. All right. Josh, anything else you want to say about the entire...
Oh, that was your last
that
pick.
Was it.
Okay.
So Josh is going with the returning Edge of Extinction player, Ron Clark and Joe, and I have War Dog, Eric, and David. So we feel like a lot of men are going to be vulnerable at the merge.
Yeah, a lot of people left on the cutting room floor, as is Survivor Edge of Extinction's want.
Okay. Josh, we are now through the pre-merge on the Edge of Extinction. This would be probably the end of an evolution of strategy. I almost called it the edge-olution of strategy.
It could be the name of a chapter.
Could be. It could be. But probably it'd be named something like, bro, this is lame.
Yeah, remember that. Mark that down.
Mark that down. But. Yeah. Here we are at the edge of the end of the pre-merge, Josh. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts just in terms of these 6 episodes of Survivor we watched as a whole?
Yeah, I think that the Edge of Extinction itself has been the most exciting part of the season by far, which is maybe a surprise coming into the season. And I also would say maybe an indictment of the season. The fact that this is the best stuff of the season, I don't think that that speaks necessarily very highly of the health of the season. I think that it, listen, I'm still here for Survivor to do something a little wonky and a little wacky, to really, you know, to take a big swing like this, when you're, you know, at season 38, why not? You're still on the air. You know, I've really have no issue at this point with them, you know, taking some swings and getting creative and trying to shake things up. But I think that there's just, it's just a lot, you know, it's, forget a double stuffed Oreo. This is like a quadruple stuffed Oreo. It's just too much. There's such a thing as too much stuffing in the Oreo cookie. I know that some people won't agree, but I think you want things to be a little slimmer. You want things to be a little leaner. You know, change the flavor a little bit, but the stuffing is just too much. We haven't really had the chance to talk about something that we had thrown out there the last time you and I were on the Wiggle Room together, which is like, we're going to go from 2 to 3 tribes plus the Edge of Extinction. It's so much to do with only 43 minutes of airtime, even as they're starting to sacrifice certain things to help tell the story. Like, we're not seeing Probst anymore at the end of Tribal Council talking about whatever, you know, philosophical message he wants to leave everybody with. You know, the end credits are changing as well. The previously ons are shorter. And even with those sacrifices, it still took us until the double episode to hear from Julia. It still took, you know, we still barely know Aurora, who I know is a stitch, is a riot. You know, we're not seeing much from Gavin, who is really funny in person.
Gavin this week.
A little bit.
I mean, he was in the first hour of the double episode. I think we saw a little bit. Fair amount of Gavin.
A little bit. But I think on the week to week, this season's just not really lighting up my buttons. I don't know if buttons are to be lighted. I don't know if that's what you're supposed to do with buttons or not.
You,
but it really
buttons.
Hasn't. Yeah, I don't know if it's just because it's the afterglow of top 5 baby season, David versus Goliath, or what, or if it's, you know, stuff that's inherent with this season in specific. It's Survivor, so I'm enjoying it. You know, I will enjoy the worst season of Survivor, but this is not the worst season of Survivor, but it's an outlier season of Survivor. And I maintain what I said early on, that I wonder if this will be a more enjoyable season as a binge. I think that the way that the story has been structured and formatted may be more fun when you can like really sit down and chew on it like a book. But as far as the week to week, the fact that like the Edge of Extinction stuff is more exciting to me than what's happening on the beach, where you really have, four fairly defined characters in the Lesu Four versus sort of like a massive comma, is not great. Mm-hmm. Just my 2 cents.
Yeah. I'm not as down on the season overall as you sound. I feel like that
I have been
pleasantly surprised overall with the season. I felt like that the one sort of clunker was the Rick Devens Tribal Council, and I thought that was so boring in terms of just voting out that, you know, the one person, we're a big family, and
I liked that because that felt the most personal. You know, it felt personal to me. So because I actually had some stake, you know, involved in these characters. Like, I felt like I actually knew who these people were. So I didn't mind that. But, I don't know. And not to say, like, I'm a full thumbs down on this. I'm still in wait-and-see mode, though. I can't make, like, a strong evaluation of this season until I've seen more. Where I was, you know, at the end of episode 4 or 5, David versus Goliath was the best season ever. Don't at me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying worst season ever.
I tweeted the other night that Edge of Extinction is not the worst season of Survivor ever. Don't at me.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that's true. You can at me on that. I don't think this is the worst season ever. I think it's got a ways to go before it becomes that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a bit of an asterisk of a season so far, and I don't know if that'll ever change. We'll see.
Okay. And I had made a bet with Stephen Fishback earlier in the season. How many people would tap out from the Edge of Extinction? I feel like that I'm feeling good about the under on the number of tap outs this season.
Cool. I like it. Okay. How many did you have? Zero?
I think
Zippo?
I said like 1.5.
Yeah.
Stephen felt like there would be 6 people tapping out from the Edge of Extinction.
Is knowing is know-it-all on the line, or can we not pull the mask on the Shut Up Tim song?
Yeah, a lot of caveats with that. Yeah. All right. So, Josh, before we get to this week's double episode wand-off, and that this is unfortunate that you feel this way about things that are double-stuffed, because there's a lot to get to.
Oreos? You an Oreo sponsorship?
No. I'm talking about the wand-off.
Got it. Okay.
The wand-off this week is sponsored by our friends over at Ship, the new dating app for people that could use a little help from their closest friends, whether they are also looking for love or already in a relationship, like myself, who is a happily married man. But now I too can get on the dating app Ship, Josh, and so can you.
Yeah. Raro, get on the ship.
GetShipped.com/RHAP, because for our single friends that are out there, and so far none of the listeners have asked me, Rob, can you please join my group, my crew, it's called, on Ship, and help me pick out people that I should go on dates with, and then I'd be in the group chat with you talking about it. But luckily, my one contact in my phone who was on Ship, Adam Klein, has accepted me.
Wow.
And now I am swiping left or right for people that are in Adam Klein's network.
That's amazing. You're going to listen, if this man doesn't already have enough to thank you for.
Yes. Rob found the perfect person. Yes, and that's what I'm doing.
He really sees this opportunity.
So much fun. Swipe. So she's far away. Okay. A lot of these people that I'm saying no to are just geographically unavailable. But you could see how much fun you could have on Ship. And I'm waiting for one of the listeners to ask me to join their crew over on GetShipped.com/RHAP. Get the advice from the people that you trust. If you can't find the right person, maybe you need to outsource it a little bit. That's what you could do over on getship.com/RHAP. Dating is more fun when you do it with friends. Download Ship for free at getship.com/RHAP. That's getship.com/RHAP and start today. Yeah, so many people are going through these dating apps like, come on God, let me find somebody.
Yeah,
okay. So much fun. And then once I'm in all these crews, then I'll be swiping left and right.
Yeah, don't put me on your crew. I've had bad luck with this, to be honest, in the matchmaking game.
What do you mean?
It's not my forte. The creator of the Wombats hat, I set him up with somebody once upon a time, and they dated for 2 years, and it was an unmitigated disaster.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. Straight up leave here, it would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever. If you need to, you can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You want to know right now before you go any further. It's the Wanda. It'll be here forever.
Yes, the wand off. Did you miss the wand off when you were on vacation, Josh?
My wife, on the other hand, is really good at setting people up. She's responsible for the creation. She's responsible for the creation of four lives. You know,
four lives. That's more than me.
Two people married and two babies per couple. So, if that's what you're looking for, give at Emily a shout. She'll help you out.
Get her on Ship.
With shipping.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Josh, you missed week 40 on the Wanda.
I know. And I meant to have Wanda deliver some sort of paparazzi apology for it. And we couldn't get our act together. But I was sorry to miss week 40.
Okay. All right.
Week 5. We're alive.
We're alive. Okay. As are the chickens so far here in week number 5. Although the double episode really throws things off because now it's week 6, but now we got to say it's like episode 7. It's tricky.
The plight of a survivor commentator.
First world problem.
This is one of the banes of our existence. I know it. And I know it well. I refer to them as weeks instead of episodes as my solution.
Mm-hmm. So are you on week 6 now, or are you on episode 7 for Wednesday?
I don't think about it as episode 7. I think about it as week 6 of Survivor: Edge of Extinction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just easier to think about it that way for me.
All right. Here we are, Josh, and we got to talk about our top 3 from last week.
Yeah.
And this was a
very compelling stakes coming into this
one. Yes, big stakes and watched by a lot of people, most notably the First Lady of Podcasting, who had 2 black hats boxed up for Alex G.
Wow.
Sitting on my counter all week long. And every single day, my wife asked me, who won the wand off this week? Who won the wand off this week? Because I need to send these hats out. I said, hold on. You have to hold on. We're watching to see if we have to send Alex G a 3rd black hat in the box for the first ever wand off three-peat.
Wow.
Let's get to the results.
We've had people win 3 wand offs, I think, right? But just never in a row.
Yes. We need like American Idol, like results music here for the wand off top 3. I need to.
Wanda! Wanda!
Okay. Kind of all right. In 3rd place.
That's it.
With 13.95% of the vote, the tabulator is reporting Rebecca from Seattle. If
wow.
I were a hen.
Rebecca from Seattle, killer in the newcomers of the wand off.
Yes.
I hope to hear more from her.
First time player.
Very sad to hear about the story that Rob.Giotis. I don't know. How
yeah,
you
Casey,
say
that. Casey, screw that up.
Yeah, stupid Casey.
Okay,
all right, Casey, I love you.
All right, 2nd place was 32.65% of the vote. 1st place was 35.54%. of the vote. So 2-5-4-E big runaways this week. In 2nd place, it was DJ LaBelle Klein for Funny Guy with a Dad Bod. And
do you think he got dinged from 1st place because he said, I have a dad bod? And turns out, maybe not so much anymore.
DJ LaBelle Klein?
Hey, this is part of the lyrics. Dad bod shamed me.
So a sexy picture of you came out, and then he referred to you as part of the dad bod crew, and then people are like, I can't vote for this anymore.
Yeah, it's fake news.
It's fake news. Yes.
That's okay. It. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it.
All right. And the winner of this week 4E wand off. Wand off history has been made with the G-Pete.
AG, I want everybody to stop what they singing. Now, if you know you're with somebody that you gonna send to the hotel room tonight, make some noise.
Okay, well,
oh my god.
At the hotel room.
Yeah.
This is
Alex
the
G. The first ever three-peat in the wand off. Tell Nicole to get out the box cutter.
Wow.
Put another black hat in that box.
Dangerous things happen when box cutters are broken out. Alex G, three-peat, regular Colby Donaldson here of the wand off going on.
Yes. Okay. And I will tell you, just spoiler alert, that Alex G may have burnt himself out because we will have a new wand off champion this week.
Yeah, Alex, well, you know, you can chill for a bit, buddy. Like yes. we
obviously
no we
Alex
love you,
G
buddy.
Entry this week.
Yeah, okay? you can let people you can let some other people earn some black hats.
But the literal hat trick for Alex G. Congratulations!
Incredible, okay. Incredible. What's he gonna do with 3 wombat hats?
Three black hats gonna clear us out of black hats.
Yeah, we didn't make that.
Yeah, isn't that what Aubrey said the other night? She was like, she's like, I'm like Alex G, and I found my black hats, and it's wand off
exactly
night, and
said.
It's live know it alls, and abracadabra, hocus pocus, hotel ream.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Man. I like the Hocus Pocus reference. I'm still waiting for a Survivor contestant named Thackeray at some point in the future.
At some point. Happens. Hold on. We'll see with Thackeray.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring in a man who knows a thing or two about Hocus Pocus and the and otherworldly things. He is the host of The Wand Off, the great Casey Kasem. Rob and Josh, it's a pleasure to be back here in the studio with you for another week of The Wand Off.
Great to be with you again, Casey. Sorry I said you suck before. Obviously, I don't mean it, and I know it was actually Pineapple Boy 27's fault.
That's right, but that you'll be hearing from my attorney. Josh, we've got a jam-packed honorable mentions here, so let's get right to it. Of course, you could hear all these songs on the Rob as a Podcast patron SoundCloud account available to all of the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Let's get things started here by a man who wants to talk about what's going on at the edge of extinction. Got a few edgers here at the start of the honorable mentions. Here's Brad Black and Gold to explain why Reem couldn't get this week's advantage.
What's that, dude? He touched it.
That was from the great artist MC Dumber Than a Bag of Hammers.
RC Hammer would be good too.
Okay.
That's funny.
Next up, we're going to talk to one of the people that showed up on the edge this week. Here's a song from Dibs on the Gibbs.
Devins went down to extinction. He was looking for a second chance. He was in a bind after a blindside, and it stopped his game's advance. Then he came upon that island feeling sad and mad and hot. Then Reem jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Man, let me tell you what. Dude, you already know this, but we're glad to see you here. You voted us out, you've got no clout," the first out player jeered. "Now you played a pretty good game, Rick, but give your tribe mates their due. I bet a pretty tall stack of shiny greenbacks that the player going back ain't you." The man said, "I'm Rick Devins, and it might be a long shot, but I'd take that bet you're gonna regret, cause I'm vying for that spot. Aubrey showed up on that there beach, big Wendy's here now too. Hell's broke loose on Survivor, no one knows just what to do. And if you win, you get back in this game, lickety split. And if you lose, you get the pre-jury trip."
That was a great jam by the Charlie Daniels Ring-a-Ring Band.
Wow, I can't believe it's taken so many different iterations of the Wand Off to finally hear the Survivor Devil Went Down to Georgia. But here we are. Love that song. One of my favorites.
Where's Bloom? Casey, I need a word with you after this in my office.
Yeah, right. I always did enjoy, Johnny's tune is pretty good, but clearly the Survivor Devil should always win that jam. The devil part in Devil Went Down to Georgia is just clearly so much better.
The Survivor Devil is no friend of mine, believe you me.
Okay.
Next up, we've got a song from Nicole P, and she's talking about what's going on over on the edge.
I had a choice to make.
That was an anthem from the neat Lady Gaga.
That's a great cover of Victoria Bamond.
Nope, that was from Nicole P.
Got it. Okay.
Nicole P. came up with that one, Josh Wiggler.
Okay,
and
sorry.
We will also say that it's a miracle. It took 5 weeks for us to get the Edge of Extinction song. And now for season 38, we're done.
That's it. Moratorium. Fair enough.
Next up, we're talking more about the Edge. Here's Audrey S. from Dallas.
This now a place where y'all are gonna go suffer even more. First, there was Reem.
Screw you, dude.
Then Keith, who couldn't swim in water. Come on, God. Come on, God. Underwood, they hate you. This is not the Holiday Inn.
Underwood.
Devins breaks the news that Manu still can't win anything. Aubrey's traveled the world, and our girl comes close, but not with this tribal vote. Big Wendy gets to hug Jeff. At least the chickens won't rust. Extinction Island 6, they are a train wreck. These people are really losing it. Jungle brawls and falls for these advantages. Don't worry, y'all, next week we'll be Extinction Island. Does it completely suck?
See?
It's true.
That was a great one from Katie Collins Perry.
It's true.
The Wandoff creators are really enjoying the Extinction Island. And Claire from New York wants to really show her appreciation to the man who came up with the idea.
And for her, we say thank you, Chef. We're so blessed. Beams the best. Did she expect that she could get past day three?
She should take some time to shop your place. Like, don't get me wrong here, I think she's amazing television, but she is a super unpleasant person. And on top of that, she got kicked out of a gym. And people don't get kicked out of gyms. They just don't.
That was the song Thank You, Jeff by Boston Rob Mariana Grande.
Hey. Keep your name out of my mouth, Casey.
Sorry about that. Don't mean to offend. Special shout out to all of our listeners in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, very good. Very good. I don't know why the Aria Grande ones always kill me. Great name to wand off to.
Josh Wiggler, it was only a couple of weeks ago that we got a wand off from the spouse of one of the Edge of Extinction players. This week, we're about to make history in the Wiggle Room once again.
Oh boy.
As this week, we received a wand off from an offspring of one of the Edge of Extinction contestants.
Wow.
This week, we've got a song from 13-year-old Jake Rosenberg as the slippery slope gets even more slippery week after week.
Oh, man. The rain is pouring down on that A-frame.
Here's Jake with a song about extinction.
Even though my gameplay was somewhat insane, I managed to get Jeff to say my nickname. And now I have a choice if I want to walk away, but I just need to stay. And Reem and Keith say, you decided to take a crazy route, and now you've got yourself voted out. I'm sure the chickens will machine, no doubt you let them go. But you are not yet out. You were nice when your new tribe mates came, but for the chickens you're the one to blame. It's never easy to lose your flame. You let them go, but you're still in the game.
Wonderful. That was wonderful.
A song from Dean Jenna Lewis.
Man, we're getting close to being able to like franchise this out as Wandoff Jr. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that day. Jake, great job. That was awesome. That was awesome. Rosenbergs are surprising me this season. This is wonderful.
They've got a whole social media team.
Yeah, they've been amazing.
Josh, it's time to talk a little bit about Mr. Joseph Amazing. Here, all the way from Australia, is Lyndall to talk about Joe's efforts so far.
I love that you follow a young person with Lyndall, who is probably going to say something that Jake should not listen to.
It's
so
not
Jake,
that bad. He
Jake,
can
caution.
Okay.
Nobody can beat Tom Selleck. He makes water like a relic. He's gonna make our tribe immune. Joe's carrying karma. The lesser tribe might be imploding, but we've got Joe, so we're freeloading. He did this in Cambodia too. How bad we're no collar. Nothing can faze Joe Anglin. What must it be like to be him? And this time he's got an incentive. Sierra Dawn Thomas. He does all the work on our tribe. Every day's a free mustache ride. We're gonna sponge our way to the merge. We'll have no tribals, just rewards. He made all our dreams come true. Wait, where's my airtime? I'm purple. I've got no confessionals because I'm mooched.
That was the theme song to the classic TV show Rodney, LaVoie, and Shirley. And Josh, the main reason I included that was
because
that
she
was
Tom Selleck.
One of the reasons, but I really just wanted to shade Rob Cesternino because he still hasn't gotten out the Robin Akiva Nita podcast episode of the TV theme song bracket. All right, Casey, I have a million things going on with the Wiggle Room, okay?
Don't you dare throw me under the bus for this, Rob. We are all waiting for that 5.5 hour podcast, and there is no excuse. No excuse.
It normally comes out on a Sunday, and it's Monday afternoon, and it's still not in my feed.
It's honestly, it's just ridiculous.
I'm pulling for WKRP in Cincinnati, an affiliate of KC's Top 40.
Yes. Get it together, Cesternino. Come on.
Next up is Michael and Kimberly. They've got a song that's also about Mr. Joey Amazing.
You all want some cookies, coffee on the side. That's gonna go right through you.
Oh, no.
Number two. But remember, there's Joey. And he may just start thinking, why even try? He's not on your tribe. Every little thing you do, Joe is gonna outdo you. You're just gonna lose it again. All he does is win. You slowly start realizing he is crushing your dreams. That's 'cause Joe is amazing.
That was from the boy band B New NSYNC.
Yeah, I like it. I like that a lot.
Next, we've got a couple of songs all about a character named the War Dog. Here is an original song from Bob with two B's, which it says here in my notes. This is the theme from The War Dog, : an original story of a supervillain sidekick.
Whoa.
He's coming in hot, yo. He's quick with Twitter blocks, oh. Wants to be Tony Vlachos. He's a juggernaut, bro. Aw, yeah. Meek and mild law student, Dan DeSantis. Silva, slobbered on by a radioactive shih tzu in the dangerous Phygia forests, gained the seductive powers of discrete mathematics. Now, he's the greatest supervillain sidekick of all time. Makes Joe Mena obsolete, yo.
Deuces.
Thinks Rogaine would be sweet, oh. Runs on pure libido.
Whoa.
Throwing backs 5 feet, bro.
An original song from Bob with two B's.
Wow. Very good. Very good. War Dog Anthem. It's here. It's arrived.
We've got some more War Dog Anthem here from Swaggy J.
Whoa, no! What are you good for?
Absolutely nothing.
A short one from Edwin Allstar.
That's hilarious. And look, I find the word dog highly entertaining, but that is just too
As
good.
Do I. Casey Kasem is a huge fan.
I don't want to get blocked, but that was grand.
Here's one more on War Dog from DJ Best Panda.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't go to Rocks for War.
That was a classic from Kelly Wentworth Clarkson.
Amazing.
Okay. Last couple of honorable mentions here. Josh Wiggler.
Okay, Casey Kasem.
Next up, it's Nate Dogg and Dr. Amanda. They made one wand off last week, and now they're hooked. Here they are talking about the saga of this season's veteran players.
Veteran players. We came back to the game to win this time, and we damn good, too. But you can't be no geek on the beach. You gotta be ready to flip your vote, if you know what I mean. Earn your seat. Veteran players! Mount up! Double tribal knight, a single boot, both tribes staying strong. A tie vote looms, two vets on Lesu, won't go to rocks. Ain't blowing up this game, but no voting block. Just write down a name, vote Big Wendy. That's what she gets for letting them chickens go free. It's a 4-4 tie, flip the vote 5-3. All you newbies know what's up with returnee.
That was one from Warren GC featuring Nate Wardog.
I mean, the Nate Dog part genuinely sounded like Wardog was singing it. Like, that sounded that actually sounded like the WARDOGG, which is wonderful.
Next up, Josh, we've got Laura and Noah, and they're talking about how the women are taking control of this game.
Girls, find the idol. Girls, find all the idols. Girls, find the idol. Girls, find all the idols. Girls, find the idols. Girls, run survivor. Girls, swap the blind side. Girls, free the chickens. Girls, find the idols. Girls, find all the idols. Girls, find the idol. Girls, go home with an idol.
Aw, crap.
Oh. Oh, no.
That was a great one from Neonce.
I like it. I love that that happened. I love that. I love that I love Wentworth has an idol. Lauren's got an idol. I don't love that Aubrey went home with an idol, but I love that she got it. More like this, please.
Okay.
Big fan.
Next up, Josh, we're going to close out our honorable mentions with some sad songs for Aubrey.
Okay.
Here is our great friend who puts together all of the music videos behind the wand off. Here is Jason Curtis Rivera.
I found out long ago.
Great minds.
That the person voted out this week was Aubrey Bracco. Whoa. Yeah, she even left the game with an extra vote. Whoa. Aubrey Bracco.
Heartbreaker.
That was from Lindsay Richter Buckingham. And finally, Josh, we close out this week's honorable mentions with another song for Aubrey Bracco, and her loss is being felt by last year's winner of the Wand Off, Matt from Waterloo.
Epic.
That was an epic symphony from the composer Julie Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
That's good. All right. So sad.
We will go from our honorable mentions to this week's top five. And Josh, as we count down the top five songs in Wombat Nation, we remind you, you could vote all week long by going to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda, where the tabulator is standing by to give us the results every single week. We come out of Matt from Waterloo and go right back in with Matt from Waterloo. And... song number one.
Plugging Aaron.
For Wombat Nation. Here he is talking about some of the talents of the great War Dog.
A beanbag or get fishing done. But if you need him to carry something, he can carry the fun.
Amazing.
Can't you see him talking here in third person, or is that Tony B? The worst rockhouse I've ever seen. Not sure his chances of winning.
Plus 1%.
But what I can do, math. He's flexing his math. Don't tweet about math. Don't throw stuff, just math.
That was a rock anthem from the group Van Halen Ford.
Yeah, I also really did like it when War Dog jumped into the ocean. It was really good.
All right. Number two this week in all of Wand Off Nation comes to us from, as far as I can tell, a first time entrant into the Wand Off. Here is Frail Mary with a remix of a song
remix
that's already been in the wand off. Here's Frail Mary.
My new is voting out this time. Which won't let Aubrey know what's going on in your mind. Won't be a black cat for her now. You're too busy setting all the chickens free. Hey, Big Wendy.
DJ LaBelle Klein may have got your fur. But now it's time for the remix.
You outlasted Reem and Aubrey.
Here is Frail Mary, shouting out my Wendy, homie. All these tribes be hating on me like I know what I'm doing. Hear me? I'm trying to cause all the scenes. I'm setting all the poultry free. There's lots of ghosts here in BG. Got more dog trying to beat Tony. Eric says I'm an alarm clock. You don't know when I'm gonna go off. Survivor may be a waiting room, but I'm here making moves. Your signage stroll down left may be lost. Not good with pass. It's cool, it's cool. Probes will hug me. Y'all will miss Big Wendy.
Big Wendy.
Now it's getting saucy on edge. Reem's bossy.
Lame.
Trying to get back in the game. Keep the Reem my posse. Now they're giving us a note. Well, that's a cool accomplishment. I was here for like one day, but now it's time. Get in the boat.
Big Wendy, combined tribal, voting me out this time. And I just sat there while they talked, looking so fine. They offered their votes to Wendy. No one wanted to risk going to rocks or me. I'm Big Wendy. You have not seen the last of me.
Wow.
Josh, we are way far down the rabbit hole as Wandoff participants are remixing previous Wandoffs.
Yeah, am I supposed to yell about that? Like, what am I supposed to do?
You just enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that I'm not going to yell. I think I'm just too happy. I know that typically my role is like I'm supposed to be thumbs down on the remix, but this was great.
Remix, bro? Yeah.
There was a point where I believe that I heard Reem in that song and I couldn't be sure if it was a Reem, like an actual Reem quote or a Rob Reem. The two are beginning to blend together. I also did enjoy Jeff finally calling Wendy Big Wendy. I thought that was great.
Yes,
I enjoyed that almost as much as I enjoyed when Jeff was like, all right, now seriously, get out of here.
Yeah.
Pushes her down the path.
Excuse me, Casey. Let me just debate. Yeah, I felt like that your story of the context of her asking to be Big Wendy on the opening marooning and Jeff saying, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Yeah. All right. Out of the way, podcast boy. We're back. That was Frail Mary.
Very good, Frail Mary.
Number three in all of Wombat's Nation comes to us from a man who is no stranger to the Wandoff. Here is Mr. Michael Clark.
Top five, baby. This is exciting.
With a song about the life of David Wright.
Good 133 was a threat, apparently.
Apparently.
Successful writer for TV. He has to pee.
And David, what's the pee situation?
It's not good.
Try burning gears. He is paralyzed by fears. Like his boy Brett could use some beers. Got married. Well, David's got DVD shell in his home. DVD shell. Well, David's got DVD shell in his home.
Such a sad song from Eric Carmena. Josh, how's your DVD shelf?
Oh, I'm too full. I'm going to have to do something about it. And I don't want to say it too loudly because it's right past my shoulder. And I don't want to offend it. I heard what happened with you and Nick. And I don't want to repeat it. So I'm trying to speak very quietly about the subject, but it's time to clean the DVD shelf. It really is. It really, really is. Oh, man. That song always makes me think of Clueless, which is a happy memory because it's Alicia Silverstone saying the words, "Wait a minute, I love Josh. I'm totally butt crazy in love with Josh." And that, let me tell you, young Wiggler who was watching Clueless was very excited about that. Just to go a little behind the curtain there. It was very exciting times.
The number four song here in Wombat Nation comes to us from a tandem that's no stranger to the top five. But Aaron Robertson has never won the wand off. We'll see if this is his week. Wow. He's back with Jordan Kalish to talk about a big moment in the show's run for one of the contestants.
Julia. She had two confessionals.
Winning that reward just showed us once again that the Kama tribe is a force to be reckoned with in this game. We are completely dominating, and we're on this winning streak. However, it is in the back of my mind that Joe is the biggest threat in this game right now. So I would rather get him out of this game sooner rather than later. When you start hearing Joe saying that you're a threat, it's like, oh crap. Like if people see me as a threat, that's going to make my game a lot harder once we do get to emerge. So I'm definitely anticipating having to adapt and rearrange some things to stay in the game. Julia.
A beautiful song composed by James Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, man, I can't believe that Aaron was able to get Spencer to record a wand off with him. It's so great. Spencer's really everywhere still. It's so good.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Only incredible. One wand off song to go here today in this marathon wand off after the double episode. Josh, are you ready to hear the number five song in all of Wombat's Nation?
Yeah, I'm good.
It's a collaboration between two legends of the wand off. For the very first time together, DJ LaBelle Klein and Corey B have collaborated about something going on Extinction Island.
You just gave it to someone else.
Do you think I gave this away? Like, do you think I'm not freaking stupid?
You just offended Reem. You just offended Reem.
Those two get on my damn nerves, man.
I hate to tell you, Mr. Underwood, but what you did, it was not good. Now a certain someone's in a certain mood, cause you just offended Reem. Smooth move, offending Reem.
You might have been joking or a little bit tired and irate. You didn't mean to be rude. Maybe, but this volcano's about to blow. Mount Reem spewed.
Screw you,
dude. You caused a lot of grief.
Do I have complete idiot written on my forehead?
Somehow it's worse than Keith.
No, you tell me I gave something away.
And if you lose the challenge, it would seem you've got more time to spend with Bree. And you just offended Bree.
Lit off a volcano, bro.
Great job offending Bree.
It is a disaster. It truly
actually is the most dysfunctional family I've ever met.
That was a great job from Randy Manuman.
Not where I thought you would go, but I like it.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
The top five songs in all of Wombat's Nation. You can call or vote online at robhasawebsite.com. Don't call. robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. And the tabulator will let us know on our first Wiggle Room after the Survivor Merge next week.
Oh, man. Good luck voting, people. Jeez, that's crazy. That's a hell of a top five.
It was a long morning going through the Wandoffs.
Oh, good times, though. Wow, that is so much fun.
Josh, it's so nice to have you back here with us in the Wiggle Room. Until next time, remember, keep your feet on the floor and keep your hands off the table.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
Casey Kasem. Great job there, Casey.
Very good, Casey.
Except when
Very
he was making
good.
Fun of me for not having one of the podcasts out yet.
No, it was kind of funny too, though. Okay. Wow, that was delightful.
Yes, of course.
What wonderful one.
Yes, again, thank you, Randy Neupel, for all of your work getting everything onto the SoundCloud as it currently stands. I think we have 38 tracks uploaded to the SoundCloud for this week, available on Monday nights to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. If you're a patron at any level, you get access to the entire Wandoff SoundCloud playlist every single week, Josh Wiggler.
That's an incredible deal. The best deal in town. No right. matter what town you're from.
No matter what town you're from. All right, Josh, we've got a big Wednesday night. We've got the merge. Somebody's coming back from the edge. A lot of stuff to break down. We're pumped up for the second half.
Yeah, totally, totally. I am very curious to see where all of this goes. You know, it's Survivor. It is a lot better than not Survivor, so I am here for it.
Okay. Josh, what do you have coming up outside of Survivor?
Oh, man. I mean, Game of Thrones fast approaching. Weekly Game of Thrones columns still popping on THR, and very soon, in fact, as of the next Wiggle Room re-record, that is going to be transitioning into daily, Ream daily Game of Thrones articles.
Dude.
Every single day. I know. She loves that Cersei Lannister.
Loves
she
Cersei.
Thinks Cersei Lannister's crazy. She loves Game of Thrones, so I hope Reem's going to be reading. I hope you guys are going to be reading.
You
Lots
what,
of stuff
dude?
Will be going up.
Cersei, she just doesn't take any crap from people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. THR.com/Game of Thrones for all that stuff. And we are also podcasting Game of Thrones over at the Great Post Show Recaps. Winter was here. Our rewatch of all of Game of Thrones is swiftly nearing the end. We have two episodes to get through in our rewatch before winter is here, before the actual Game of Thrones final season is upon us, at which point we will have six episodes left. And that's insane.
Okay. It's all happening, so be ready for that over on Post Show Recaps. Now, people are also asking, where's the Walking Dead recap as well? Well, the TV bracket ended up going into the Walking Dead time slot as well, so Jessica, Lisa, and I are going to be recording that Monday night, so look for that Tuesday morning for the Walking Dead recap as well, Josh.
I really am looking forward to listening
yes,
to that.
Good.
Very excited.
I am too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So great job, everybody who made it this far. Big long Wiggle Room this week here as we are getting set here at the Survivor Merge. Thank you guys so much. Oh, we got, let me tell you about the podcasts this week, of course.
Yeah, I want to know.
Gonna stop down for some News AF on Tuesday with Tyson and Danny. And then on Wednesday night, Stephen Fishback and I will be live once again for the Survivor Know-It-Alls to talk about whatever happens in the episode. And then Randy Bailey Newman is going to be joining us on the recap this week to see what Randy has to say about The Edge of Extinction. And what a pairing that former antagonist of Randy Bailey, but now great friend of Randy Bailey, Haley Strong, will be on the feedback show this week to talk about everything
amazing
that's going on. And then on This Week in Survivor, we're going to talk with a TV writer, not unlike David Wright, and Survivor podcaster, Scott Chernoff is going to join us on This Week in Survivor. So very fun week coming up again here at the Survivor Merge.
Oh my God, I'm excited. The podcast is on fire. You know me, I love some Survivor. I really love me some Survivor right now. So I am really stoked to get to this next episode of Edge of Extinction. And I can't wait to hear all of the amazing content that you just described. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good times in Survivor Nation.
All right,
now.
We'll be back 1 week from today with more Wiggle Room. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
I want everybody to stop what they singing. Now, if you know yo with somebody that you gonna send to the hotel room tonight, make some noise. Meet me at the hotel room.
Screw you, dude.
We're going to the hotel room.
Are you?
Grab the torch for hotel room.
Read the sign, bro.
You're on your way to hotel room. Forget about your old tribe and meet me at the hotel room. You can bring Rick Devins and meet me at the hotel room. Enjoy this nice boat ride and meet me at the hotel room. Victim of a blindside, now meet me at the hotel room.
This ain't no hotel, motel.
Holiday Inn.
We at the edge of
the edge of extinction.
This ain't no hotel, motel.
Holiday Inn.
We at the freaking edge of
the edge of extinction.
Ream Daily's had enough. They got in a boat, now they're on an aisle. They kept their buffs, they're nasty. Stranded all alone with no shelter or food except for some Devins arrives at extinction tonight. Keith almost left, he's not alright. And they don't even have a real timeline, so Ream's gonna make them have a miserable time. One, just one, Ream did not have fun. All of a sudden there's two, Ream and Keith from Blue. Then there was gonna be three, Chris was hazed by Ream. Now there's gonna be four, Rick four, there ain't room for more. This ain't no hotel, motel.
Holiday Inn.
We at the edge of
the edge of extinction.
This ain't no hotel, motel.
Holiday Inn.
We at the freaking edge of
the edge of extinction.
Edge of freaking extinction. Screw you, dude.